Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
On J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Bart Scott, Alan Hahn, kicking it with J. Will, like we were last week, back again this week. And as we talked about earlier in the show, as we began the show, March Madness officially began, and it did not disappoint from Friday on. You had upsets, you had double-digit seeds moving on, Oral Roberts being one of them. Great games all around, and a lot of great stories. But there's one story that is one you can't ignore.
I was so hot.
So hot over the weekend. You and I both. So following Ohio State's loss, again, to Oral Roberts, Ohio State as the two seed, is this just awful story that involves social media and taking it way too far. EJ Liddell, a player for Ohio State, was revealed via Twitter, threatening tweets that he received after the Buckeyes were eliminated. Ohio State's coach Chris Holdman and athletic director Gene Smith, they showed their support for Liddell. They described it as vile and dangerous words that reflect the worst of humanity, as Holdman put it. Liddell is a sophomore. He had 23 points and 14 rebounds in the overtime loss. You know, we're not going to tell you what was said. Most of it we can't say. We can't even show you the tweets, but they're around. You can find them. And I can't even, like when I saw them, Jay, and I saw the way we were talking about it on the group chat, it to me, like, the thing about social media is that it reveals maybe too much of society at times, right? And I also feel like some people use social media as free speech is a bulletproof vest. But it's not. But it goes beyond that. And I know for both of you, as guys who went, you know, college players went on to play professionally at a high level, you both have dealt with fans before. But I'm going to leave the floor to both of you to react to what was said to Liddell and how he's got to deal with this after what was a crushing loss just for him personally.
Well, first and foremost, I deal with people who disagree with what I say on our show. And then, like, the tweet at me, You should have died in that motorcycle accident.
Damn.
Just to give you a little insight to what people in our position or athletes deal with on a daily basis when people just don't like what you do. But I said, as soon as I saw this story came out, social media platforms like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram need to work with police, because people that like to use assaulting-like words or like to use words that are threatening of your life should be detained. Should be detained. Should be arrested. I'm clear with that. Yeah. Like, my thing is, if you want to criticize people, fine. But when you start talking about you need to be dead,
right,
or,
well, how about death, I'm going to kill you?
I'm going to kill you.
Right.
The police need to show up at your damn house with the lights on and take you out in handcuffs. It's so disparaging for me to see young adults who are already isolated, who are already dealing with depression, who are always staying in Indiana trying to play in a tournament game. This is what the tournament is, and it seems like, and I don't want to say this, but it felt this way. Like, this is a gambler. It almost felt like somebody who lost a lot of money on the game was so mad they took their outrage on this kid. This kid is 18, 19 years old, young adult. Yeah. He doesn't deserve that type of speech that makes him worried about his life, that him and Chris Holtman, the head coach, need to take it to the police.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing now, and this is where we're at as a society. And it's so bothersome. We're talking about amateurs, right? We're not talking about professionals.
Yeah.
Not people who get paid to play their sport. They're out there playing it for the love of their sport, even though they should be compensated.
Yeah.
But this is where fans like to take it to. They should be arrested.
I mean, I don't know if I have any more to add. I mean, it's disgusting, right? Because this isn't what athletes sign up for. And where are we at as a society where we're threatening young kids, young athletes, for their performance on a court in a game where anything can happen, right? Like, where are we as a people saying that we see, you know, this is a human being. This is a person. Right? Who are we as a people that we allow this type of trash to even exist? And I think, to your point, they should be prosecuted, right? Because at some point, somebody's going to take it too far, and they are going to try and hurt somebody, right? So you have to take that threat. You know, you can't just call and make a threat to the president. You can't just call and make a threat and say, hey, I'm going to do this, and somebody, you know, you get restraining orders, you get all kind of stuff. I think that we need to take this more seriously, and we need to make some examples out of some people early on, because we hope that one day we don't have some type of tragic thing where somebody takes it too far and really executes on some of their words. But listen, we get this crap all the time, and I think it's a peek behind the curtain of what athletes have to deal with. You just don't expect to really see it at this level, at the collegiate level. But, you know, people disagree all the time, and they hide behind their Twitter, their social media. Yeah, they're thugs behind that, right? And these are things that they wouldn't dare say to somebody to their face.
Right.
You know, but, you know, they hide behind, you know, their IP address. And I think we need to start, you know, calling it out when we see it, and we need to start making sure that we can prosecute people like this, and we should make some legislation, make some type of laws that prohibits this type of behavior.
And for anybody that says, well, everybody has freedom of speech, you're allowed to say whatever you want. But just know that for whatever you say, there can be consequences for what you
absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely.
No question.
There is accountability for freedom of speech.
I tell you, man, listen, I take all threats seriously. Like, so I still haven't, you know, got to that place yet.
That's I've seen the way you bark back at people.
Yeah, I bark back for real because I'll pull up. You know what I mean? So that's why I stay off because people know that's how I roll.
But this is a college player. It doesn't help him in any way to have any kind of response, aggressive response or anything. Now, again, this social media is not new, but this is something that is starting to become an issue. You remember last year there was a gambler who was sending a lot of social media messages to players from Tampa Bay Rays in 2019 with threats to kill the players, kill the family, and all that stuff. And this guy right now
that
pleaded
serious.
Guilty to what is a single charge of transmitting a threat in interstate commerce. That's right now what the law would be. The crime carries a maximum prison of 5 years and a possible fine of $250,000. Does that sound strong enough? Because it's, again, up to 5 years, possible fine of $250,000. Yeah. But he pleaded guilty to it. And that is something that you obviously have to keep an eye on. But this is a college player. There's nothing he can do.
You know my answer to everything.
Well, I understand
Send him to scare straight, put him in a cell with Fleece Johnson.
If you're putting in certain words, there should be certain parameters on social media that pop up and say, for this word, here is what will happen. Or there will be repercussions. You know, like there has to be something like that. And also, you know, my question led to with this whole situation in Ohio State is I wonder, like, what are these universities doing for these kids from a mental health perspective?
Yeah, right
like
away the coach and AD have, you know, gotten his back and you lose it's a devastating loss. I mean, clearly.
Kid played great, though.
You do everything you can. You miss a shot. It happens. Like, it happens. Which is why, is this a crazed fan? Like, you remember the De Niro movie,
The Fan,
right? Like,
is it
a crazed fan who just can't control himself and had to get his frustrations out? Or is this somebody that had money and it cost you, you know, and this college kid missed a shot and it cost me money or missed some shots or didn't have a great finish to the game, whatever it was, and it cost me.
It cost
me money, and now I'm in trouble, so I'm going to take it out on you. My frustration's out on you. Whatever it is, this is clearly becoming a bit of an issue that you have to – it has to be addressed in some way or another.
I don't know. Have you guys ever gotten a death threat?
I don't read mine, but I've gotten a lot of vile stuff.
I got one when literally we were talking about George Floyd when I was away over the summer, utilizing I wasn't in the studio. I was in a different location, got one. And the internal conversations really led to me, and I haven't been out places, but that makes you look over your shoulder differently, man. That creates a different type of anxiety, a different type of feeling. Where you're not sure about who you're around and what their intentions are. Like, it's a really scary thing. I can't imagine being 19, 20 years old dealing with
dealing with a devastating loss. Like, that loss sits with you, Jay. You guys understand. Yeah. You lose at a where you thought you had a shot to get into the Final Four, and you're out where you're out, and now you've got to deal with this on top of it.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is we see examples of people doing crazy things. We just saw the shooting in Atlanta. What happened, with the mass shooter there. Who's to say that it's not going to be some crazy fan that lost it all that goes crazy like that because they bet it all, right? I think we got to do a better job in making sure that we provide resources for these student athletes. They're already in a stressful situation anyway. We always talk about suicide and how it spiked up during the pandemic. We need to support these kids because, listen, this is a game. Right, this is a game at the end of the day. This isn't life or death
but
stuff.
For some people, it's a business, especially if you're betting on it. As Herm Edwards once said, don't press send. That's the only thing you could do. Just don't press send. You could think something, but the minute you put it out in the world, it's coming back to you, no doubt about
Please
it.
Keyshawn, fix them.
Jay Will, Zubin, Barton Hahn, kicking it with Jay, coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Let's get back into the NFL. So why the biggest winner of the NFL season is already the biggest winner of the off-season. That we'll talk about after Jay has this from CentOS.
Whew, that subject has me heated, man.
Yeah,
take it down a notch.
I'm with you.
All right. Today, people expect a new level of clean. Cintas provides a wide range of essential products and services that help businesses keep their facilities and employees clean and safe. Cintas will keep you well-stocked with essential supplies like face masks, hand sanitizer, gloves, and thermometers. Cintas will hygienically clean and deliver your uniforms as well. They also help you protect employees and customers with first aid, safety supplies, and fire protection services. Cintas help you open doors with confidence every single day. Learn how Cintas can help keep you and your business clean and safe at Cintas.com. Get Cintas and get ready for the workday.
Breaking news, the Buccaneers reached a four-year deal worth up to $72 million to re-sign pass rusher Shaq Barrett.
I think Tom Brady's going to be the first quarterback ever to have a chance, like a real chance, to go 16-0 again.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's Kimberly A. Martin, NFL reporter and co-host of the First Take, Her Take podcast. The woman who had the most impact on my life is my Auntie Ingrid. Before Robin Roberts, there was Auntie Ingrid. She was the original boss lady. She was self-sufficient, successful in business, owned her own home in her 20s. I, as a kid, just loved her and wanted to emulate her. So there's no chance that I would be where I am today without her influence.
KJZ, Bart and Han kicking it with Jay Will. And let's talk to Kimberly A. Martin. Kmart, we like to call her.
Cousin
K. On the
K.
Goodyear Hotline.
What up, Cousin K?
What's going on, guys?
How are you? Now, I understand you've got things to get to in a couple of minutes, so we appreciate you just sharing your time with us right now. So we'll try to be as quick as we can with you, but we've got a lot to discuss with you, of course. But I'm curious about this. This is what we tease, and I want to hear it from you. The biggest winner in free agency might be a team that none of us expected it would be.
Okay, are you going to say the Washington football team?
Oh, no. I'm going to let you tell me what it is.
Because Washington is number two on my list. I think you can't say anybody but the Bucks, because they just won the Super Bowl and they retain all their big name guys. Guys that we were worried they could potentially lose in Godwin and Barrett. So I think the Bucks off the bat, that's got to be, pencil them in as the favorite for the Super Bowl. And obviously, of course, Washington, a team I previously covered. Who knew that Ryan Fitzpatrick could be a beacon of light at 38 years old, but here we are, you know. I love the William Jackson signing. And Curtis Samuel, I think, is an underrated free agent signing at this point.
Cousin Kay, who's been the biggest loser thus far?
Okay. So it's got to be the Bears, right? And I preface that by saying I understand that it's not their fault that they couldn't pry Russell out of the Seahawks' hands. However, the one thing the Bears had to do this offseason, and the offseason not done, so maybe they pull off something crazy in the draft, but the one thing they had to do this offseason was make a splash at QB, because jobs are on the line when you talk about GM Ryan Pace and head coach Matt Nagy. So after not being able to sign Russell, they threw everything they possibly could, and they end up signing Andy Dalton, who is serviceable, who's good. But after you fail on getting Russell, it is sort of a letdown, especially for that fan base. But when you think about the Bears have had 8 different starting QBs under Ryan Pace, the GM, since 2015. When you look at those names, Cutler and Hoyer and Trubisky and Foles and who else, Chase Daniel, Barkley, Glennon, Clausen, Andy Dalton could potentially be the best of that group, but it's not a very impressive group.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dalton said he was promised he'd be the starter.
Since you said Tampa was the biggest winners, who has closed the gap the most on the Super Bowl champions?
Who's closed the gap? I mean, I like the Bills' moves. Because when you think about who are the teams that could potentially knock off the Bucks, look at the teams last year that made it as far as they did. You know, the Bills, Packers, Rams, although they didn't do a lot besides Jones. You know, the Bills, I like the Bills' moves because the best teams want to sign their own guys in free agency. I always think it's a red flag sometimes when you see a team willing to cut a guy. And then he signs for big money elsewhere. You gotta do your due diligence and ask, like, well, why is that team who knows him well so willing to let him go? Is it just they just can't afford him and they wish they could? Or are they sort of like, you know what, he's not worth that price tag. But the Bills made a lot of good moves. And that's a team to watch in the AFC, especially with the moves that we've seen the Patriots make. Time will tell on them. I'm excited about that, but I think the Bills are still the favorite in that division.
All right, NFL free agency is still really much just underway. So, Kimberly Martin, we appreciate you giving us a few minutes. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Kim.
All right, guys.
All right. Kimberly A. Martin, co-host of First Take, Her Take with Charlie Arnold, Shanae Ogumike. New episodes available every Wednesday, wherever you listen to your podcast, by the way. Barton Hahn with Jay Will. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance, cars, homes, boats, motorcycles, RVs, and more at progressive.com. So, you know, we've been talking a lot about the Eagles. We've been talking some free agency here, certainly, as well. Let's just look in the NFC East. You know, as you heard Kmart say.
Formerly the NFC least.
Yeah. Yes. Formerly. Now, you heard Kmart say this, right? Her second team that's had the best offseason, the winner so far, Washington football team, right? Just break down what you're seeing in that division, Bart, in comparison to the Eagles, who seem to be going through a bit of a reset, but the other teams building up.
Right. Remember that the champs, the division champs, is the Washington football team. I think they got a lot better, a lot more exciting with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think when you give them these type of weapons, you know, Antonio Gibson is, I think, a breakout star. Curtis Samuel, you know, reuniting that synergy, you know, with his college teammate and Terry McLaurin. You know, I think they've done a great job because defensively they're a stout team. And I don't think they're done yet, right? You think of the other teams in the division, they've been throwing a lot of money around. Not so much in Washington. They still have $20 million of cap space to get that secondary market, you know, to get those secondary stars. Now, they need to get a couple of improvements, maybe at cornerback, but they have a draft as well to be able to do that. You look at Dallas. Dallas looks like they're prepared. You know, they brought in Keanu Neal like I told you they would. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, when you think, I think Richard Sherman's going to go there and really give them that veteran corner on one side. They have Trayvon Diggs from last year, and I think they go out and they draft Patrick Surtain Jr. And with Dan Quinn, I think that defense is going to be maybe top 10, bend, don't break. When you have that type of offensive firepower, they're going to be able to play well. But the team that intrigues me the most is what Dave Gettleman has done in New York with all the weapons that he surrounded Danny Dimes with. We understand that Danny Dimes, to me, is just like Josh Allen. He's a big quarterback that can break tackles, and I think he can change angles. You saw him get up to 21 miles an hour last year. I think with Saquon Barkley coming back, it gives them a very explosive offense. This is make or break for Daniel Jones and even Dave Gettleman, because I feel like if you give him all these resources, be able to go out and get the top guy in the market, and you can't win and you lose the division to a team that's been bargain shopping in Washington, then I think it's time for Dave Gettleman to go because he hasn't pushed the right buttons.
Stephon Diggs is to Josh Allen what Kenny Galladay will be to Danny Dimes.
Yeah.
Right?
That go-to guy.
Yeah, you hope. That's what you're praying for.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Right? And now the conversation starts about Daniel Jones already felt like he was on the clock.
Yeah.
Now we're watching the clock.
All eyes on you.
Now we're watching the clock dwindle down pretty fast, right? It's like, okay, year three.
Going to year three.
What are you doing? You know, last year, 1-7 start. You guys ended 6-10. You made a run. Could have made the playoffs. That happened, right? I kind of felt like they lost the opportunity for that to happen instead of everybody always trying to blame it on other things that are occurring, right? Bad calls and things of that sort. But my thing is now it's like, all right, Danny Dimes, it's time to prove that you are the quarterback that New York has asked you to be. Yep. Are you cutting down on turnovers? Saquon Barkley will be healthy. You have all the weapons in the world now. It's time to make it happen in the AFC East.
And we've seen special from Daniel Jones. We've seen spurts of it, but it's not the interceptions. You've seen him push the ball down the field. You've seen him come back and win games late in games. It's just his ball security. Ball security is job security. I always laugh and tease him about his junior whopper hands. But, you know, if he can have some ball security, Nate Solder took a pay cut. Now they lose Zeitler. But, now you think about he should have two pretty good tackles as Thomas played better later in the year. But I'm intrigued about this. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick is one of those guys that's good enough to, like, be special. Like, he's the Fitzmagic or Fitztragic. And I think he has a lot of weapons. And with that defense, he's going to be getting the ball back. That's the best defensive line in football.
Now, I find, it again, that's what I find the most intriguing about Washington is the Ryan Fitzpatrick angle. Because every time we try to count him out, every time we want to think
like
that
Michael
he's
Myers,
at the
man.
End, what he did in Miami, I mean, let's be honest. Yes. He wasn't supposed to be the starter, but then he became a starter, and he was always solid, always good.
And didn't he get COVID the last game? Because if he wouldn't have got COVID the last game, he would have been played instead of Tua. They could have gotten the playoffs. Mm-hmm. All they had to do was win.
But he's one of those guys that just seems he's very smart, as we know. He has kept himself healthy. And he just continues to be a guy that earlier in his career was that Fitztragic time. You'd see some of those games where it was just, you know, stop throwing to the other team. But he has just continued to grow into a quarterback that, dare I say, do you trust him? If you have a really good defense, which is what Washington has, you just have to manage your offense.
Exactly.
Right? Just manage it.
And now he has weapons.
Then, in your eyes, still the favorite to win that division? Are they, like, to repeat as the – or do you look at Dallas and think that's overpowering – would the Giants be the sleeper in this whole thing?
For me, I think that right now it's still Washington because I don't think they're done. Like I said, I always talk about that secondary free agent market. They still have the draft to address. I think they do what they can do to find a future, you know, pass thrower behind them. But I think with $20 million in salary cap space left, they're still going to go out and get some impact guys. There's still going to be some guys that get cut. And I think they're going to be able to be in position to get some bargain prices for some players. And I just trust, you know, Ron Rivera. I think he's an excellent coach. I think he's building his team in his likeness. And I think just one more year with Gibson, he's going to be a lot special. And I think this defense is going to be scary. I think this defense can potentially be one of the best defenses, if not the number one defense in the game. But also, but I want to go to Kimberly before we transition. I think the team that has closed the gap on the Bucks the most that people are just continuing sleeping on is the Rams. Another sneaky signing the other day. They got DeSean Jackson, the deep threat that they need. So now you got Robert Woods, who I think is one of the most competitive, underrated, you know, receivers in the game.
And
you got
Stafford's
Cooper
got
Kupp,
that kind of arm.
Right. You
too.
Got Cooper Kupp, and I think people have been sleeping. Loaded. They don't know just how good Stafford is, right? I'm a Lions fan, so I know how good he is and how he was winning and what he was doing in spite of the organization that I think has been one of the worst run organizations in the history of sports. You know what I mean? But now he goes out there in a team that's ready with the number one defense in the league coming back. I think they're definitely a big threat and the biggest threat to the Bucs.
Not to tie this always back to the quarterback conversation, but if you're Russell Wilson, you're just sitting there
watching like, yo!
All the again?
Like
another threat?
Exactly.
Damn. Like how many more challenges
everybody
are we gonna have in this division?
He might be the worst team in the division. He really
That's
I mean
crazy.
Russell Wilson might be on the worst
least
team
talented
in that
yes,
division.
Least talented team.
Well, when I say worst, I just mean like the three teams will be ahead of you in the standings.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not making the playoffs if that's the case.
Yeah,
you know, you don't finish last in your division and somehow get a wild card.
They don't make the playoffs this year. They're definitely going to let Russell go because they're going to identify that we got to start over from scratch and we're not going to rebuild with Russell after we try to reboot after the Legion of Boom. So I think, you know, that could be the straw that breaks the camel's back. And that's why I'm telling you the Jets should make sure that they kick the can down the field. Because if you're looking, you're the Jets, you say, hey, maybe Russell Wilson really gets upset because now he sees that his window is open and closed. Man, he might be ready to walk away. And I got three first-round draft picks. We'll give you one of them back. And how crazy would that be? Jamal ran because he said the Jets were inept, and then they end up with the quarterback that he
ends up in the situation he was running away from. Season. As long as he gets paid, he probably
like Geno Smith's
happy.
My quarterback. Sam, I'm sorry.
Come
Sam, back. I'm sorry.
Oh man, Barton Hahn kicking it with Jay Will, KJZ. All right, so the NCAA. Speaking of reset, the NCAA ruled VCU Oregon as the first no contest of the NCAA tournament. That's a tough story, certainly for VCU. But Wisconsin would beg to differ. That's coming up after SportsCenter.
Lewis has it, turns, fires a three from the right corner. That's an air ball. Rebound tip. Still loose inside. It's over. It's over. Oral Roberts wins. Oral Roberts is going to the Sweet 16. 81-78, the final score. The 15 seed is among the final 16 remaining. What a game. What an effort by the Golden Eagles. They knocked out Ohio State in the first round and now have knocked off Florida.
That courtesy of Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. So there it is. At least four double-digit seeds in the Sweet 16. That's the first time, or the third time, I should say, since seeding began in 1979. Seven teams have won outright as at least a seven-point underdog. That's the most through the round of 32 all time, and the second most in an entire tournament. Oral Roberts has the two biggest upsets of the tournament. March Madness did not disappoint as it returned after over 700 days away from our lives. How's your bracket? LaMelo Ball expected to miss the rest of the season with a fractured right wrist. This is tough news in Charlotte. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports this. Sources telling him, so entering Sunday, LaMelo was the favorite at minus 500 to win Rookie of the Year, according to Caesar Sportsbook by William Hill. Anthony Edwards, next best at plus 325. Is he really going to win Rookie of the Year on a bad team? If Ball misses the rest of the season, that would be the final 31 games. He hasn't missed a game so far. And according to Elias Sports Bureau, the most games missed by a Rookie of the Year, 32, by Patrick Ewing in 1985-86. How's it going, Houston? The Rockets have lost 20 straight games. That's a franchise record. That's after a 114-112 loss to OKC. The 20-game losing streak is the longest ever by a team that began the streak above 500. They were 11-10 at one point. They're now 11-30. The 20-game losing streak for the Rockets is the longest since the 76ers lost 27 straight between 2014-15 and 2015-16 seasons, as we were told to trust the process back then. SportsCenter brought to you by Capital One, with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts and an app that lets you bank anytime, anywhere. Choosing Capital One is like the easiest decision in the history of decisions. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Capital One N.A. Member FDIC. KJZ presented by Progressive Insurance. Barton Hahn kicking it with Jay Will. Time for running the point, Jay.
All right, let's do this. Here are my five biggest takeaways from the first weekend of March Madness, the crazy, chaotic weekend that we all love, that we're forever indebted to because it gives us the best storylines to pay attention to. Let's start with number five.
At five.
COVID issues. We knew this was going to happen. We expected something like this to happen, hoping that it wouldn't. But what happened to VCU just breaks my heart. Mike Rose, the head coach there, good friend of mine. They had a couple of COVID issue, positive issues. They thought they were going to be able to get through it. They got all ready for the game leading up into the game. The game got canceled 3 hours before the tip. 3 hours before the tip. This is one of the best teams, I think, not only in their division, but I had a chance to get multiple wins in the tournament. I feel horrible for these kids. You wait around with the hope that you get a chance to be there. They missed last year as well. I just hate seeing it happen. We knew, we kind of expected it to happen, but the chances of it happening, Alan, it just destroyed my heart. I feel horrible for Mike Rhodes and VCU. Number four.
At four.
His name is Max Asemus, okay?
Spell it.
Not Abmus.
Abacus.
Abacus.
Use it in a sentence.
Asemus, Max Asemus, is actually the best scorer in the country. The leading scorer
legit in
the country for RRU, okay? And what I say about this, look, they made history as the second ever 15 seed to reach the Sweet 16. The first was Dunk City. But this is a school of 2,800 undergrads. 2,800 undergrads.
Wow.
And this is what they were able to do. They beat Ohio State, and I'm going to tell you guys a story. I got a text from a big-time player that plays for Florida. the other day, saying, oh, all you guys on ESPN keep talking about ORU is going to be that team. They're going to do it again. They're going to make this miracle. It's not happening in our watch.
Oh.
I sat there and watched that game last night. I'm like, oh, that just happened again.
Yes, newsflash, Claude. We've never been friends.
They are real. And Max Asemus is a guy that can score on anybody in the country.
They are real and spectacular is what you're saying?
Yes, they are.
Nice.
Number three.
At three.
Sister Jean. Cameron Crutwig. Porter Moser. Three names that you're going to recognize. You're going to hear more and more and more. And get this. I'm going to pick them to make the Final Four. They're going to make the Final Four. They have a legit chance to actually win it. I never thought I would say that about Loyola Chicago.
Winning it all?
Winning it all. They have a legit shot. They have a legit shot. Look, they had a chance to a couple years ago get to the Final Four. They made it. They could have got there. Who are you giving kisses to? Come
That's on, a kiss now. Of death right there.
Oh, well, no.
The Reaper.
I said this a couple years ago when they kept the run going. And look, here's the thing that people get it misconstrued about them. Kim Palm had them ranked, which is a measuring system that we have in place in basketball, right? Takes into adjusted defensive efficiencies, offensive efficiencies, had them ranked the number 7 team in the country.
Yeah.
They were ranked number 17 in the country at a time in AP polls, okay? Number one, adjusted defensive efficiency in the nation. They are that good, and they share the sugar. They understand who they are. Four seniors in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
They have a chance to cause a lot of havoc moving forward. Next up.
At two.
My buddy. Wherever he goes, he goes. Yes.
My buddy.
Okay.
My buddy.
Okay.
I took it too far.
Buddy Boeheim.
It's your segment.
Buddy Boeheim. It's all good. We shared a segment together. It's called Sharing the Love. Jim Boeheim's son has been putting on a show, averaging 28 points per game in his two ACC tournament games and the two games they've had in the NCAA tournament. Yeah. Shooting lights out from the three-point line. I'm talking about deep shots. Yeah. Deep shots.
Dame like
a couple, yes, a couple of feet over half court, letting it fly. I just want to put some respect on Syracuse's names. And a lot of people always say this. Yeah. Hey, you can't simulate it in practice. You can't with this lineup that they play. I mean, the average height is around 6'6 and above. This team plays that 3-2 matchup zone. A lot of teams don't see it throughout the course of the regular season. Yeah. We saw multiple teams struggle because teams want to settle and shoot a lot of jumpers. This team has a defense to go a little bit deeper into the tournament. Buddy Boeheim, a guy to
Buddy
watch.
Buddy Buckets.
You got to love when you see the coach's son because usually they're just on the team and they don't deserve to be there, their spot. I mean, he hits the three and he's celebrating his dad. Like, get back on defense. Still been a dad.
20th Sweet 16 for Jim Boeheim. Getting it done.
Been a run. Yeah, getting it's been done. A run.
All Hands right, up. Let's go my number one because this one hurts
And running second. Point.
Number one. I'm shocked by Shaka Smart. Shocked? By Shaka Smart. Six seasons at Texas. I remember Shaka Smart. I think about 2010, 2011 season. VCU, yep. Eric Maynard. You guys remember that name?
Oh, yeah.
Made that crazy run to the Final Four. It was magical. Yeah. It was magical. He was building a powerhouse at VCU, just dominating their conference. Very similar to the way we see Mark Few dominating his conference at the West Coast Conference. Very similar to the way we see Porter Moser dominate the NBC with what they're doing at Loyola Chicago, right? But since he's been at Texas, a couple really bad losses. I mean, first round losses. Do you guys remember that comeback they had against they let happen against Nevada in 2018? That buzzer beater they had in 2016 against Northern Iowa? And now you lose to a small team in your state. You lose to a small Abilene Christian. You lose to them. Like, you are the big dog. You are Texas. You can go out into anybody's house and get the best players. They had talent on this team. Matt Coleman, Andrew Jones. They have top draft picks on this team.
Yeah, man.
I'm not sure how much longer he's going to have at Texas. And Shaka's my boy.
Yeah, man.
We just know how it is at these big schools.
Oh, they'll buy you out in a minute, huh?
It leads us back to this conversation about Porter Moser, right?
Yeah.
About, you know, does he stay at Loyola Chicago?
Yeah, is the grass always
greener?
Or
does he go
greener?
To a different school, a bigger school, get paid more? But you go, like, you think about what Shaka Smart could have been at VCU for a very long time. Yeah. I think Archie Miller, what he could have been at Dayton for a very long time. You leave these programs, you go to a bigger program, and all of a sudden now – you're on the clock.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about a smaller team in your own state beats you in the tournament.
Yeah.
It's always a tough road.
It's always the more money, more problems, more pressure. And that's usually what happens when you jump out of mid-majors where you have great success and you come in. If you don't have that immediate success, they'll quickly label you as, oh, he couldn't get it done.
Yeah.
Shaka Smart was a guy that wasn't just getting noticed on major programs after his success at VCU. There were NBA teams that were thinking about bringing him in that wanted to interview him. So he was a guy that everybody recognized as someone that was a good leader of men, a good coach.
Yeah.
But if you don't have that immediate success at some of these bigger schools, that's when they start questioning whether or not what you were doing at the smaller schools, you were catching people by surprise.
That's when they go buy you out and you hurt your feelings.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Money, you still get the money. There's no question about that. That was a lot of fun. Great stuff there by Jay.
How you say that? Max Amos?
Asmus.
You'll know it by the end of the tournament.
He's shooting aces.
I'm just trying to make some t-shirts after the show so I can make some money off of his name.
I know what you're doing there. All right, the MVP and Rookie of the Year favorites.
Everybody else doing it.
Knocked out. In one weekend, while it was a great March Madness for the NBA, it was a tough weekend.
Mm-mm.
Can I mention what happened to the Knicks last night? Never mind. Woj going to join us next after Jay has this from Cintas.
For all the ones who get it done, Grainger is always there to help. Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help keep you and your facilities safe and your people even safer. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop on by.
If he goes out and misses an extended period of time here, well, that would remove him from the MVP conversation.
If he's healthy and they're one of the top eight teams in the conference, you got a great shot at going to the NBA Finals.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
KJZ, ESPN Radio, Barton Hahn kicking it with Jay Will. Just watching the replay of the LeBron James.
It makes me hold my damn ankle.
Injury. Rolled over on that right leg.
You just got to go limp when you feel that.
Let me ask you this question, because we've all watched a lot of LeBron James.
Let's bring Woj into the conversation.
Yeah. I'm just curious.
We do. Yeah,
I wonder how many times do you see LeBron grimace like that or yell like that after an injury?
Yeah.
You don't see it.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen him go down a couple of times. Again, Woj joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. So, good to see you, Woj. So as we're talking about the LeBron injury, we were just watching the replay of it, and it's one of those where you watch it and you can't help but wince, right? Like, as you see it. We don't normally see LeBron in those types of situations. What's the latest you can give us on that injury and his future?
Yeah, guys, they're still evaluating the ankle now, but I'm told the Lakers are preparing for what is really typically the normal recovery time for that kind of high ankle sprain, and that's 3 weeks to a month. That there's a sense that it probably is not going to be really less than that. And so LeBron has always shown
3 weeks to a month, Woj? 3 weeks to a month? Wow.
That's what they're preparing for right now. They're still evaluating it, I'm told. But, listen, James has shown a tremendous ability to come back from injury. He's had a lot of ankle sprains in his career, and he's never missed more than a couple few games, but this is different. You guys know a high ankle sprain is a different kind of injury, and so the Lakers are preparing for the fact, you know, that he's going to be out, that they're going to measure this in weeks and not days, and obviously coupled with Anthony Davis's calf injury, you know, this is a really problematic stretch for a Laker team, you know, that really is going to and does struggle without having those two stars on the floor.
Yeah, just for everybody to understand, in 3 weeks to a month, so the NBA season, because it started late, the end of the season's regular season would be mid-May. That would take him to the end of April at the longest, which would leave a couple of weeks before the playoffs begin. Go ahead, Bart.
Yeah, Wolves, what kind of pressure does that
put? And that's typical. That's typical of that injury, right?
Right.
Wolves, what kind of pressure does that put on Anthony Davis to try and play hero to keep them in the standings to come back a little early? Does this speed up his process? Or are they going to continue to stay patient with Anthony Davis as well?
Yeah, they're going to continue, Bart, to be cautious with Davis and not change his timetable. Listen, the Lakers did build a cushion, obviously, with this season in the standings. And I think more than anything for L.A., they need to have both players healthy for the postseason. I don't think they have to worry about home court or who their matchup is in an early round. I think there's a confidence there. You know, that with a healthy LeBron James, a healthy Anthony Davis, that they can go on the road and win in the playoffs. I mean, just imagine if you're the Jazz or the Suns and you get the one seed, you get the two seed, and all of a sudden you look up and you're in the first round of the playoffs and you got a healthy AD and a healthy LeBron coming into your building for a game one or two. That is not how you imagine getting rewarded for a high seed, but that's within the realm of possibility here.
Well, how does this change the trade deadline strategy for the Lakers or teams that are chasing them right now in the West?
Well, I think for the trade deadline for the Lakers, I don't know that it changes it really at all. I think they're probably going to be more active in the buyout market. Andre Drummond from Cleveland, I think the expectation is the Cavs are going to continue to have a difficult time finding a trade for him this week that ultimately, if he wants to leave Cleveland, play somewhere else this year, it's going to be a buyout. And then I think the Lakers and Nets are certainly two of the teams at the top of that list. He certainly could play a significant role with L.A. You know, they miss the size and the ability to protect the rim that they had last year with Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee. They don't have that with Montrezl Harrell, Marc Gasol. So certainly that's at the top of their priority list. I know they have called around you know, about certainly size shooting at the trade deadline. It's hard to imagine that there's a significant trade for this Laker team out there, but they've been trying. Listen, you're not replacing, you know, AD and LeBron here in the short term at the deadline, you know, but they certainly have been active. And I think, you know, I think the buyout market is probably where I think the Lakers can do more, make more of an impact on improving that roster.
KJZ, ESPN Radio, Bart and Hahn kicking it with Jay Will, talking to Woj right now, latest in the NBA. So there's one injury to another. You go from an MVP candidate to a Rookie of the Year candidate. You reported that LaMelo Ball could miss the season with a wrist injury. I know he's getting a second opinion on the prognosis. What else can you tell us right now about that situation?
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. LaMelo Ball had been spectacular in this rookie season. I mean, he made the Hornets a team you wanted to watch every night. He's coming to New York, I'm told, early this week, today, tomorrow, to meet with one of the top hand specialists, Michelle Carlson. But very likely the expectation is he is done for the season. Fractured his hand just below his thumb. And this was a Charlotte team that was in the playoff race, had the eighth seed, and certainly without Ball, that changes dramatically the dynamic for this Charlotte team. But Ball has shown himself to be a potential franchise player for Charlotte, and really frustrating for him, for the organization, to lose him this way. But I'm told that the expectation is he's probably going to miss the rest of the year.
Woj, a more pressing question. What happened to your Bonnies this weekend, man? LSU, that was a tough one.
Tough matchup for the Bonnies. Listen, regular season Atlantic 10 champion, tournament champion, and then we've got the whole team back next season. So we're out working and recruiting. We'll add a couple guys. We'll see you next March, Jay. We'll see you back there.
Well, hopefully we will see you because hopefully we'll be in the tournament next March with you guys.
You have to say is, you know what? You know, we really missed Duke this year. Said no one.
Jay, listen, we would love to, you know, we were a 9 seed this year. You know, if we're a 7-6 seed next year, maybe we can get you guys in a 6-11 game or something like that if Duke can eke into the tournament.
And that's why I love you, Woj.
We appreciate you, man. Thanks so much.
See you guys. Thanks.
That's tough news in Charlotte, no doubt about that, though. Tough news in Charlotte and what that does now to that team and the playoff run, everything else. But he had a terrific season. He's got everybody talking about Charlotte, which doesn't often happen.
Opens up the rookie of the year for baby Keyshawn, as you like to call him on the show, Anthony Edwards.
Maybe. Or how about Emmanuel Quickly?
Yeah.
Well, anyways.
Good luck.
Speaking of young New York stars, young quarterback has to finally live up to his name. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, ESPN Radio, ESPN app.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.